4, the Jesus question. Life is full of questions. Some are large and others are small. Some are essential and others are trivial. Some of life's questions are passing curiosities that we ponder once and never return to. But others provide the themes of our lives. These enduring questions are at the core of everything that happens in us and around us. In many ways, the questions we ask of ourselves, of others, and of society define who we become. There is one question that we all have to answer eventually. I call it the Jesus question. Some people go looking for it, chasing it with the joyful abandon of a child in a treasure hunt. Others spend their whole lives avoiding the question. Some people try to tiptoe quietly toward it, while others stomp up to it, lacking even an ounce of the humility and reverence required to sit thoughtfully with it. For some people, the question unexpectedly jumps out at them in the midst of their daily affairs. Some people discover the question through the once-in-a-lifetime friendship of someone who introduces them to the Jesus they have always known about, but never really known. For others, a tragedy drops the question on the doorstep of their lives. Sometimes we fill our lives with noise and busyness to avoid the Jesus question. But when the noise finally dies down and the busyness subsides, the question is still there. It waits patiently to be pondered and answered. There are some people who quote somebody else's answer to the question, but someone else's answer is profoundly insufficient. We each need our own answer to the Jesus question. It is a deeply personal question that requires a deeply personal answer. I suspect that how we deal with this particular question says much about who we are and what we value. I'm sure it has to do with nature and nurture. Then there are the biases, prejudices, and blind spots we carry with us as a result of a lifetime of past experiences. And of course, there are the fears and ambitions that we so often allow to rule our lives. But this type of analysis can also become a way of avoiding the question itself. The question itself is like Jesus. Agree with him or disagree with him, glorify him or vilify him, follow him or reject him. About the only thing you cannot do when it comes to Jesus is ignore him. He is inescapable and unavoidable. His fingerprints are everywhere. He changed the world in some ways that most people are aware of and in countless ways that the average person has simply never considered. Try as you might, you cannot escape him. Jesus is the inescapable friend who only ever wants your highest good. Everything that is good and desirable, he wants for you even more than you want these good things for yourself. It doesn't matter how rude you are to him. He will wait patiently until you surrender to the wisdom required to delve deep into the Jesus question. The Jesus question is here to stay, not just for Christians, but for all men and women of goodwill, and even men and women of ill will. You can try to ignore it, or dodge it, or dismiss it, but in the end, everybody has to answer the Jesus question. If we were discussing these things over coffee, by now you would probably want to interrupt and ask, okay, so what is the Jesus question? Several years ago, I was in Israel with a group of pilgrims, walking where Jesus walked. On the second day of our trip, we found ourselves at the ruins in Caesarea Philippi. Our guide's name was Nadal. He was learned and wise. He knew the region and the history. But you could also tell that for him, it was personal. His teaching on that day entranced me. He brought the following story from Matthew's Gospel to life, and I have been pondering it in new ways ever since. Jesus was walking with his disciples in the district of Caesarea Philippi when he asked them two questions. The first question was, "Who do people say that I am?" The disciples replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." The second question Jesus asked was, "But who do you say that I am?" This is the Jesus question. Who do you say that Jesus is? Not who do your parents or teachers, spouse, pastor, or friends say that Jesus is, but who do you say he is? This is the inescapable question about the unavoidable Jesus. Sooner or later, we each have to proclaim for ourselves who we think Jesus is. As I read this passage and imagine the disciples gathering around Jesus as he asked these questions, I get the sense that the disciples were a little hesitant. Perhaps they were looking around at each other, wondering if these were trick questions. They were richly human, and so I imagine them playfully saying, "You take this one, Peter." There were many aspects to Peter, as there are to us all. But the leader in Peter recognized the importance of that moment, and he stepped up and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." If Jesus showed up to your church this Sunday and stood before everyone and said, "Who do people say that I am today?" what would we tell him? Our culture seems intent on placing Jesus in the same category as Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. But Jesus is not a figment of Christian imagination. He lived in a place and a time. He walked the earth as you and I do today. The historical evidence of Jesus is irrefutable. Christian records and writings are more comprehensive than any other ancient texts. Jewish historians clearly established Jesus in history, and the major secular historian of his time also acknowledged him. There is also a growing number of people who want to reduce Jesus to just a nice guy. Not the nice guy, or even the nicest guy, but just one of many nice guys. As a result of this type of thinking, there are many people who want to reduce the essence of Christianity to simply being a nice person. Countless people and cultures since the time of Jesus have come up with countless ways to diminish who he was and what that means to humanity, history, and each of us individually. Our own time is not unique or different in this way. The world's other major religions believe that Jesus was either a great teacher or a great prophet. It is first interesting and important to note that they do not deny his existence or the fact that he lived and walked the earth at a certain time in a particular place. But Jesus did not claim to be a great teacher or a great prophet. Who did Jesus claim to be? Point to ponder. Right now, you have an incredible opportunity to get to know Jesus better. Verse to live. I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. John chapter 18, verse 38. Question to consider. Have you ever really explored the Jesus question? Prayer. Jesus, teach me to never stop seeking you. Help me to seek you in every relationship, place, and situation.